CQ, 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 the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is KB0, KBJ. My name is Steve, and my location is Greer. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesar's Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border, near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and has an effective radiated power of 100 watts. This repeater is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and all amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic for the net? Please call KB0KBJ. I'm not hearing any. Is there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KB0KBJ. Hearing nothing there either, we'll now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name and location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAG 2 portion. So, tonight being Saturday night, we'll begin with the Alpha through Delta group, A through D for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net call KB0KBJ.
Please check in. Kilo Oscar 4, Alpha Oscar Whiskey. This is David in Inman. I'll be negative and negative.
Dave, please check in. Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife. Kilo 4, Oscar November Oscar, Lorena. And my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar Quebec, Michelle. We're all in Piedmont, and we'll all be negative and negative.
Take control. Again, November 4, Delta Juliet Charlie, N4 DJC, Jerry, and Anderson. I'll be negative and negative tonight.
All right, let's recognize these stations. I have KO4AOW, KK4DMW, KK4ONO, Leo, his wife and his daughter, KM4MOQ, and N4DJC. Good evening to all of you. Thanks for checking in. Any others? Alpha through Delta for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KB0KBJ.
KBJ, Kilo Whiskey 4, Tango, Sierra, Jeff, over Spartanburg, it'll be negative and negative, sorry for being out of turn.
Got you there, Jim, KW4TS, good evening. Any others, Alpha through Delta?
Please check in, Kilo, November 4, Uniform, Bravo Golf, KN4UBG, Big Kevin.
All right, we got you down. KN4UBG, Kevin, good evening to you. Let's give Echolink a chance to check in here. Stations there on Echolink wish to check in, call now. I guess not. We'll see what happens later there. All right, let's move on to the Echo Through Hotel E through H group for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KB0KBJ.
Please check in W4FCM, Whiskey 4, Foxtrot, Charlie Mike, Fred in Traveler's Rest, Mawaii Island, November 4, India, Echo India, negative in Traveler's Rest, thank you.
Net control. In November 4, Hotel Charlie, Warren in Taylor's. Good evening, everyone on the net. I'll be negative and negative.
0KBJ. Again, Kilo Charlie 4, Echo, Sulu, November. Harry in Keller, North Carolina, negative and negative tonight. Thanks.
Thanks. Got these stations. Let me recognize them. Fred, W4FCM. And Isla N4IEI, thanks for checking in from Traveler's Rest. I also have N4HHC and KC4EZN. Thanks for checking in. A lot of new calls. It's only been 10 years or so since I called the net, I think, so kind of plugging along here. Let's see, any others for the Echo Through Hotel group? Call KB0, KBJ.
Net control. For Foxtrot Hotel Juliet, Gene and Taylor's. I just fired up my radio. I think I'm in the right section. Over.
Yeah, good evening, Gene. Yeah, sounds good to me. Got you in. W4FHJ. Are you sticking around for comments? Over.
Negative. Don't believe so. Appreciate it anyway. Don't have much to say. Over.
Nah, neither do I sometimes, but sometimes I do, and we'll see what stumbles out. Check on back in if you do figure out something to say there. Have a good evening, Gene. Any others? Echo Through Hotel for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KB0KBJ. Sounds like we got most everybody there. We'll be back around, of course, on 2, India through Lima, I through L for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KB0KBJ.
Okay, BJ. Hello, Kilo 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar, and I'm James up here on the mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. Be negative and negative and 73s for each one of you.
BJ, please check in, Whiskey 4, India, Oscar, Echo. See it in Fletcher, North Carolina. Good to hear you tonight. I guess you're still up Dakotas where it's good and warm up there probably. Anyway, check me in now, please. No traffic, no comment. W4IOE.
Oh, KBJ. Hey, it's quite a surprise. Turn on the radio and you're calling the net again. Marvelous to hear you. Please check in. Kilo 4, Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna. Kilo, Charlie, 4. Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Mark, us in and out, if you would, please. Everyone out there, have a good night. 7-3.
Kilo, KBJ. And Kilo, Echo, 4. Juliet, Romeo, Kilo. This is John at Parrish Mountain. I'll be negative and negative. Thank you for hosting the net. 73 to everyone.
KBJ, this is K2JB, Dean, in Asheville, negative and negative.
Oh, please check in, Kilo Mike 4, Golf, the Zulu Hotel, Todd, Dickensville, negative, negative.
So can you check out of turn, KN4UPY, Kilo November 4, Uniform Papa Yankee, Anson, Anderson, South Carolina. I'm going to be negative, negative, short time. Thanks for calling that. Good evening, everybody on the net. 73s.
Recognize these stations, and then we'll go pick up the Echolink stations that are sitting there waiting patiently. First of all, we got KK4, JFO, James. W4IOE, Sid. Yeah, good to hear you also, Sid. I'm actually am down here in the south, keeping warm, so it's nice to be here. Good to be able to call the net. Good to hear you on. Have yourself a good evening, Sid. We got Larry, KK4JBQ, and his wife Donna, KC4MFK. We got John, KE4RJRK, and Dean, K2JB. Good evening to all of you. Also, Todd KM4GZH and Anson KN4UPY. Kind of having to get used to saying fours again. Usually it's been zeros lately, as that's where I live, up there in South Dakota, for those of you who don't know. Go over to pick up these Echolink stations, like I said. Echolink stations only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net call KB0KBJ.
This is 34 Delta Foxtrot Papa, KJ4DFP West Georgia, and on Echo Link and Roberta, Georgia. That's R-O-B-E-R-T.
We're going to try this. Here we got you in there, Keith. KJ4DFP. A little broken for some reason there, but we did manage to pull you out. Being down there in Roberta, Georgia, I believe. Did not get if you were sticking around for comments. So were you going to stick around for comments there, Keith? Over.
No, it's going to be in and out. I just want to thank you for doing a good job on that. Traffic. Back to you.
All righty. Thanks for checking in again, Keith. And we appreciate the vote of confidence there. All right, any other, one other. We got somebody else hanging out there in the wings on Echo Link. Would you care to check in? Call now. I guess not. All right, let's continue on. Let's see, we were doing the I through L last I remember. Now let's continue with the M through P, Mike through Papa for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net call, KB0KBJ. Anyone in the Mike through Papa group? For the Blue Ridge 2-meter net call, KB0KBJ. Well, I guess that's the way it is. Used to be one of the bigger groups that checked in, but not so, and not so tonight. Anyhow, let's move on. Q through T, Quebec through Tango. For the Blue Ridge 2-meter net call, KB0KBJ.
0KBJ. And Kilo, November 4, Sierra Mike Kilo. Doug, in Sequoia, Georgia. I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, BJ.
BJ. To check in, Kilo Mike 4 Romeo Golf X-ray. This is Carol in Greenville, and I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, BJ. In Kilo India 4 Tango Hotel Victor KI 4 THV Danny Traveler's Rest, negative and negative.
KBJ, please check in. Kilo, November 4, Romeo, Juliet, November, John, and Inman.
All right, let us recognize these stations. Let me recognize. KN4, SMK, Doug, got you down from Tocoa, sounding good. That's a distance of 67 miles. Is that to here? Or to the repeater, so not bad. KM4RGX, Carol, good evening to you. Danny, got you down, KI4THV. And John, KN4RJN, good evening to all of you. Any others, Quebec through Tango group, call KB0KBJ. Man, you guys, I got all these boxes here for comments, and not one of them is checked. So I'd like for you to, one of you to, not all of them, not everybody's got to come back and let me check their box, but one would be nice. All right. Let's see. Moving on. Uniform through Zulu for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net call KB0KBJ.
Yankee Papa in 7YP. My name is Jack. I'm in Taylor's. Negative, negative.
Good evening, Jack. Got you down, N7YP. Where'd you get the 7 call, Jack? Or is that just... Yeah, did you get that in 7 land, I guess, is what I'm asking?
The call, it was the only one I could get after I got my code all passed and didn't have nothing in the 4th, so I took 7 from the 7, but I like it pretty good.
Ah, okay. I got you. Well, thanks for checking in, Jack. Good to hear you. Any others? Let's go all the way through the alphabet. A through Z. These are all the letters. Alpha through Zulu for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net call KB0KBJ.
0KBJ. Steve, please check in. Whiskey, Golf 4, Mike Charlie. WG4MC. This is Matt, Western Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. 73U1, everyone in the net.
Again, Kilo November 4, Kilo Bravo Charlie, Bill over here in Tocoa, Georgia. I'll be negative and negative. but good evening to everybody on the net.
KBJ. Going out to Gully here. Please check in. Alpha Alpha 4 Romeo Mike, A4RM. My name's Robert. I'm an easily negative, negative meeting.
For Kilo, please check in. Kilo Mike 4 Golf Zulu Golf David and Easley. Again, Kilo Mike 4 Golf Zulu Golf David and Easley, and I'll be negative and negative.
All righty, let me recognize these folks. KG, KG4MC, Matt, good evening to you, got you down. KN4, KBK, Bill, I think you said Tekoa. You wouldn't have happened to know a Tommy Matthews, would you, there, Bill?
Tommy Matthews doesn't ring a bell, and it's actually Kilo November 4, Kilo Bravo Charlie. But no, that doesn't ring a bell. Sure doesn't.
Okay. I got it down here correct on the screen. KN4KBC, Kilo Bravo Charlie, but as Tommy Matthews was WB4UUQ, he lived down there for a while. He kind of had a voice that sounded similar to yours, or you sound similar to his. He's passed on now, Silent Key, but that's kind of why I asked. And as he said, I must have got my tongue wrapped around my eye, too, because I couldn't see what I was saying, because I got your call messed up. We got it corrected here, Bill. Thanks for checking in. I'll move on to Robert there. Hey, Robert. Good to hear you. Switched your call on me. I don't remember the old call, but we got you down AA4RM. And still got the 710 that bought off you. What was it, the 700? 700. Still got that. Good to hear you, Robert. Also, we got Dave. KM4GZG. Over in Easley. Thanks for checking in, all of you. Any others? All the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2 Internet call, KB0KBJ. Yeah, go ahead, recheck.
Golf 4 Mike Charlie, you have me as KZ, it's Whiskey Golf 4 Mike Charlie, Matt in Greenville.
Well, once again, I must not read that right, because I do have Whiskey Golf 4 Mike Charlie. So, got you down there correct, Matt. Thanks for double checking on that. Any others all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, or anyone want to make comments, announcements, or any other thing for the net, call KB0KBJ. Alrighty, ladies, got one more W4DJW, armchair quarterback over here. DJM, that's not right. Let's see. WD4DJW, that ain't right either. Struggles. I used to call the net, K4SUG asked me to call the net. Oh, back in, what was it? I don't know, 05 or 06 or 07 or something. And then I asked Dave to help me out one night, and I was sitting next to him helping me. Now he's sitting next to me helping me. What did I say before? Anyhow, yeah. anyone else got anything for the net or any other check-ins, call KB0KBJ.
KB0KBJ, KN4RJN.
Yeah, KN4RJN, go ahead.
I'll be doing this in about a week, and I'm a rookie. You sound like you've been doing this for a while. how many check-ins did you have?
So far I got 32. And you say you're going to be doing this in about a week. Will that have been the first time? Okay. I can't say no sweat, because when I first, like I said, when Ray, K4SUG, first asked me to call the net, I was living down here at the time. And the reason you don't hear me much anymore is because I now live in South Dakota. I'm here visiting. So Dave asked me to do the net tonight. I said, let's see how rusty I can be. But anyhow, yeah, Ray asked me to do the net back then. And the reason I say No sweat. I can't say that is because I was sweating quite profusely the first time, but I eventually got the hang of it. And, yeah, it's a lot, but you'll make it through. As long as you take a breath every now and then, and you don't got to be perfect, as you can hear. I haven't done it, like, in 10 years myself, but, I guess you just say hi to folks and recognize them. That's pretty much important. You got to recognize them. Don't just say, we got a lot of chickens. Good. Next pile. You know, that don't work out, you know.
4RJN, I had to stop laughing there for a minute. Yeah, well, anyway. I must have missed a couple because I've only got 30. You counting yourself?
Yeah, I got myself there and DJW. And, yeah, I got 32 here on the screen is being recognized. So, yeah, that's what I got.
I can hear Dave check in, but I heard you mention him, so if I threw him and you in there, I've got 32, so I'm tracking with you.
Yeah, I guess I kind of did do that in a roundabout way. W4DJW here is here, so that would be fix that one. So yeah, you'll get it figured out there. Boy, I don't even know your call, see, or your name. But anyhow, you'll get it figured out, and it can be fun. I really enjoyed it. How long did I do it? A couple of years, I guess, before I moved away. And, we had a good time. At that time, 2009, we had over a couple thousand check-ins a month. Average, I figured it out at the end of the year, was 83 check-ins a night.
KN4RJN, this is John. Yeah, I've been watching it, and we're between, 30, sometimes 50, but really much more than that. I can't imagine doing 80 check-ins a night. That's going to run that's gonna run way past my bedtime. But anyway, yeah, over.
Yeah, well, we'd have them 80 check-ins, 83 or whatever it was, it generally run about an hour and a half. I remember Dave held a net one time that went past midnight before he finally said, I gotta shut her down and go to bed. That's DJW Dave held that net. That was the longest net time wise. Most check-ins I ever heard was Gary calling. I think he had 125. That's another one I remember. Generally they were about over an hour, between an hour, hour and a half. But then it dragged you 20 minutes, Like KD4 USA up in the mountain, I don't know if you probably know him. I don't even know if he's around anymore. He was good for 20 minutes, so. Yeah, we just had fun on the air there, over.
So you're living in where? South Dakota, did you say? Living there now?
I'm working out. I don't know where to work. Of course, I work where I live. That's a good thing to do. Some people don't, but I do anyhow. Northeast South Dakota, small town. Clear Lake, South Dakota. That's where I'm currently living and have been in the general northeast part of the state since I moved out of here back in 08. So, snow and ice. Icebound area, that's where I live at. Over.
I grew up in Indiana and have lived in Oklahoma and Maine and then moved down here to, get warm after bouncing around the world for a while. So, yeah, if I were you, I'd, just stay down here. I can't imagine what South Dakota is like right now.
It's white. Just go look at a piece of paper. That's pretty much how it is. A lot of white, sky is white, mostly cloudy all winter long. Mostly cloudy, and then there's white ground, and then sometimes you get fog like we did a couple weeks ago, and then the trees turn white, and then you get tired of white after a while, and you come down here and you look at some green grass, and I seen a guy mowing his grass today, that was pretty weird. I'm running my snowblower this time of the year up there, so, yeah, it's nice to see some color, even if it's brown. So, yeah, it's winter. My sister, though, she lives up in North Dakota, near North Bismarck, 60 miles or so. It's about a six-hour drive from where I am. She's kind of on the eastern edge of the oil fields area. And I talked with her today. She said they didn't have any snow up there, just a few patches. So that's kind of how it is. Northeastern South Dakota gets snow all the time. I'm only 10 miles from Minnesota, so where I live. And Minnesota's pretty much covered every year with snow, so it's not going to stop at the border. But western South Dakota, I doubt if you were to go look on some traffic cams of western South Dakota, you would see much snow. At least, I'm sure you'd probably see some bare ground. You probably might see some snow in ditches, but you'd probably see more bare ground than not. Whereas you go look on traffic cams in eastern South Dakota, it's probably going to be all white there, over.
Suggested that I get the lawnmower out and mow the grass because it's looking a little ratty, but yeah, I lived in Maine for a few years, and they don't call school up there unless you can measure it in meters, but yeah, I kind of get the idea. Everything's covered in snow or frost or something. At least in Maine we have, you know, the coast and the ocean, but South Dakota's out in the middle of, like, nowhere. Over.
Yeah, that's not far. Not far from the edge of the earth, you know. Edge of the earth is over there somewhere in Wyoming. That's even more further out. You know, you go into Lusk, Wyoming, and you'll see a Super 8. As you go from Rapid City to Lusk, Wyoming, which is actually on the eastern edge of the state, you'll see a Super 8 advertisement, billboard advertisement on the side of the highway. Super 8 Motel, 50 miles ahead. And it's going to be the only one, so, yeah, it's kind of how far things are apart. They can plop a billboard 50 miles away, and it'll still be relevant. But then past Lusk, you run out of cell phone service, and no repeaters, and so you might want to bring your HF unit if you're going to get out. I hadn't been out there for a few years until I did. I'd been out there for quite a few years until I did a few years ago. And I kind of felt like I was driving over the edge of the earth there at one point, crossing the Great Basin. So that made my area feel like it was relatively populated. Now, talking about Maine, I've been to Maine. I used to live in New Hampshire. We went up Maine a few times, went to see President Bush's house, and ate at Tilly's shanty near his place. They had good lobsters. I guess they ain't so good anymore from what I read online. So we did that one time. Another time I went with my dad, some kind of sales trip retreat. We went on a ferry across some water to an inn on an island. There was like all these bedrooms upstairs and dining downstairs, and the bedrooms upstairs only had one common bathroom down the end of the hall. It was really old school. And, it was just plain old. But boy, I woke up really refreshed with that sea air there. As we were going across the bay, I kept seeing these things jumping out the water. I didn't know what they were. I asked the pilot, boat captain, what they were. He said, haba seals. I didn't understand that. He had to repeat it a few times. He kept saying the same thing, haba seals. So I just left it at that, as he seemed to be getting irritated why I couldn't understand him. And I eventually figured it out there, over.
Of course. Up there you pack your car in the yacht. And you have harbor seals.
Yeah. Yeah, no R's on harbor, you know, so it's ABBA, pretty much. It's like the singing group or something, you know. So where do you live there? Do you live more along the coast, or were you up in true no man's land up north? Because we didn't go north of the coast, and where you look on any map, there isn't much north of the coast. I mean, it's... That's Booneyville up there.
There, and there's a whole lot of nothing. A lot of trees and a lot of moose. In fact, the moose population's a little higher than the people population, but, yeah. Yeah, much north of Bahaba, and, yeah, there's not a whole lot much more up there. Not a whole lot between you and the North Pole, but a few trees and a barbed wire fence.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be the case. I do know a fellow who used to live in the Adirondacks there. He'd go hunting up in Maine. He said it was pretty desolate up there, which is something to be said for the East Coast, because the East Coast is pretty well populated, but you get up that far north and there ain't much there. It's been good chatting, John. Got anything else for the net?
I'm out of here. I gotta get up early in the morning. So, good talking with you, brother. Stay down here as long as you can. Stay warm. I wouldn't head back to South Dakota till about, June, July, if I were you. But you have a good evening. I'll say 73s, and I'm on back on out of here. KN4RJN, I am clear.
All righty. Yeah, good chatting with you there, John, getting into that and all. Yeah, I might. That would be nice, but I do have a house and wife and kids up there. I suppose I can't move the house too well. It doesn't have wheels or nothing. So, the wife and kids could come down. I don't know. You never know what's in the works. I kind of moved up there on a whim. I might be back down here on a whim. But the one thing is, you guys got a lot more traffic than here, or where I live. And the summers are pretty nice up there. I think I turned my AC on in my house once last summer. It wasn't too bad. Have yourself a good evening, John. And maybe I'll get to check in with you when I'm back up that way through Echolink. All right, this is KB0KBJ with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Do we have any other folks wishing to check in all the way through the alphabet for the net? Call now.
BJ. Sir, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Foxtrot Tango Uniform, KK4, FTU Richard, over here, Slabtown, Northwest Anderson County.
Good evening, Richard. KK4, FTU, got you down, Slabtown. Man, I gotta look that place up. Why is it named that? I don't think you're the only one I've heard it called Slabtown. Why is it that?
I used to have sawmills here, and they sold the slabs from where they cut the wood, cut the lumber. But you won't find it on a map. It's called Slabtown Community. There's no, our quick fame now is we've got a Dollar General now.
Huh. That's interesting. Makes sense. Yeah, big slabs of lumber. I was reading a book about Hinckley, Minnesota, and they had a big fire go through back in the logging days. And boy, when that lumber mill went up there drying, how many million board feet of lumber? There was a train backing away from town because the fire was coming up through town. And when the lumber yard got hit by the fire, it was a firestorm, actually. In fact, they could see the lights and smoke of that fire in South Dakota, a couple hundred miles away. It was so big. 1,300 people died. But anyhow, when the fire hit that lumber mill and all that drying lumber, it blew the windows out of the train, and that train was about a half mile away. And it just lit up that fast.
Amazing, yeah. I've seen a lot of things on TV and other things, read some stuff about where you can actually run automobiles off of wood. You heat it, get the gases out of it.
Is that something they're doing now or trying to do, or is this something in the past?
Yes, I've seen it on a couple different TV shows, and there's stuff that you can find on the internet about doing it. It's not very efficient as far as usefulness around anything other than if you're out where that's all you can get a hold of is wood instead of gasoline or diesel.
Yeah, you probably need quite a bit of it, but it'll burn. Like, oops, banged my mic there. Trying to scratch my ear. I'm going to practice that. It'll burn like anything else, I suppose. There's a place up there in Ashland, Wisconsin. That's right on the coast of Lake Superior. That's what they do. They burn wood and wood chips for power. There's a big heap outside. They run it up and heap it up with a dozer. Yeah, that's what they burn there to make power. I don't know how big an area they service, but that's what they burn there is wood.
Pilgrim, up in Canada or somewhere up there, way up there, where away from lots of civilization, where they had a small town, and guys converted a generator to where the guy could cut wood and feed I guess boiler that they made for it to run the generator on, so he wouldn't have to keep coming to town, because he lived out in the sticks and couldn't get out when the snow got deep.
Yeah, you say that was up in Alaska?
That was up in Canada, up where was that? It was I can't remember the show, but it was I watched the show on Discovery Channel.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. You gotta have some way to make juice. If you got no real sunshine, tough to do it with solar. Gasoline, that costs money. I guess you got supply of wood. Why not do it that way? That makes sense. That's kind of interesting. Hadn't thought of that one. I ran into a guy up in Michigan, up in the copper country. About far north as you can go in Michigan, which is 10-hour drive from Detroit, to give you an idea. It's closer to Thunder Bay, Ontario, across the lake, than it is to Duluth, or certainly Detroit. He had this solar array set up. He had just put it up. And I asked him the details on it, and he said he was already saving money on that solar array. He had spent $20,000 on the array and everything else, and he had electricity and extra, but his payment on that $20,000 was less than his electric bill had been. So he was already saving money. Of course, the electricity up there is like 23 or 25 cents per kilowatt hour. So, compared to most parts of the country, I think it's pretty low around here. I know where I live, it's about 10 cents. And that ain't too bad, but I think it's maybe even lower here. I don't remember what it is here. I don't know if you would know there. This is KB0 KBJ.
And then KK4FTU, I think it's about what it is there for you here. It's not much. If it's less, it's not much less. And if it's more, it's not much more there, Steve.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you got the nuke plant here, and, well, I think they got a lot of different ways to get power. Of course, they just zip it across country. It only takes a second to get it from anywhere in the country nowadays. That's how it always has been, but we got the dams up there, big dams on the Missouri, 5 of them. Let's see, a couple years ago they had some pretty good flooding, and they were letting the water through the dam at 1 million gallons a second, just trying to keep everything else, trying to keep the dam from busting, you know, overflowing and whatnot. They did that for about a month, 1 million gallons a second, which is about a water tower's worth they were letting loose. Now they're starting to, I was just working on the north side of Watertown, that's the biggest town, bigger town near me. Just, oh, I don't know, within the last couple of weeks, I happened to look up there and there's windmills popping up there I had never noticed before. They're about 20 miles away or something like that, I'd guess. I haven't been up to them, but I know they were planning on it. And you hear about it and all of a sudden there they are, 300 feet tall, flopping around in the breeze, you know. So there's a lot of them popping up near us.
Few of those. I've seen a few of the blades come down. They used to make them up somewhere in Virginia or somewhere. They had special trucks that they would bring them down. And rather interesting seeing those long things on a tractor trailer.
Yeah, it is. They got, well, the things are about 180 feet long, so that makes for a long load. And, yeah, we see them quite often going down the road where we're at. up there in South Dakota. I think they make them up near, somewhere in North Dakota.
Over, they used to make the generators over there at the turbine plant off of Garlington Road while I was there. But that dried up. I think they're still making them. GE's still making them down in Florida.
Yeah, I don't know the details on where they are other than they're big. I don't think a guy can really appreciate how big they are until you get up close to them, you know. Because they're 300 foot in the air and you kind of lose perspective and there's nothing else around them. But they certainly are big up there. It's more or less like an airplane flopping around on its side. If a person can imagine that, you know, a three-bladed airplane.
Travel trailer. About five times that size. That's how big the enclosure that houses the gear reduction and all of the other stuff is.
Yeah, no, I can believe it. I did see a blade sitting on the ground once when poking around near the wind towers, you know, and you can see the big open end, the big end of the blade, not the tip, of course. And if you could drive in, well, if that thing was right on the ground, a guy could drive a vehicle in there, park it, use it for a garage, long, getting skinny garage, but yeah, they're big. Anything else there, Richard?
Tell the family the next time you talk to them, I said hello. I met you over at Ray's once, and good hearing you. I hope you have safe travels if I don't get to talk to you before you leave, and enjoy talking with you, Steve. KK4FTU, KB0, KBJ, in the net.
Alrighty. Yeah, I'm looking at your call here, and it just seems more and more familiar. I think I do remember meeting you there at Ray's. I got a good memory, it's just short, you know, so you have to excuse me. I definitely will say hi, as you said there. Good chatting with you, Richard, and you have yourself a good evening. Any other wishes? Let me slow down. Any other stations wishing to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KB0KBJ. All right, one last call. Anyone got anything for the net? Call KB0KBJ. All right. Looks pretty light on the check-ins there on Echolink tonight. We got one there, and they beat it. All right, I'm going to try this do-jobber here with the automated. Okay, you got that side. Dave's telling me he's got the... it's a regular dance of here, buttons and such, so... We'll try to make this sound like we know what we're doing. At least me. Oops. That's a good start. All right. W4NYK, are you ready to copy my net report? Oh, yes, one more station there. Go ahead. Check on in.
KBJ. K4SUG, put mobile on traveler's rest. No traffic. Good evening, Steve.
Hey, Ray. I'm glad you remembered me. Good to hear you. What you doing mobiling? Where are you going?
I got a problem with the radio in the house. We got a bad switch on the power supply. I got to fix that before I can get too much with it. Over.
Ah, okay. So you're sitting out there in the truck like you like to do. Ah. Well, imagine you're keeping warm. Got it running there?
I crank it up and let it run a little bit. And had a little problem getting this started, too. One of my batteries was kind of weak, and I had to do a little rejuvenating, but we got it going, over.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't like to work too well when it gets cold. You know, I had one that was going, got soft on me, and it just was kind of slow. Well, let me tell you this. First of all, this is quite the story, Ray. My wife called me up. She says, "I'm up here in Webster. That's an hour plus drive away, and the van's making funny noises." I'm like, "Oh, good." I was like, "Does it go?" She's like, "Yep." I'm like, "Okay, keep going. And hopefully you make it home." And she called me 10 minutes later, he says, I'm at the gas station along the interstate, and it died. And it won't start. I'm like, that's not good. So I went to town. I got a alternator. I went up, drove up to a thing, and I looked at it, and I was like, I don't want to change the alternator here in the parking lot. This is more complicated than I thought. Kind of buried in there, you know. I brought tools, but I was like, we'll just make it home. Maybe it is getting dark. It got dark. And anyhow, I says, we'll just run the battery until it dies. Then I'll jump. I'll jump the battery, charge it up, and we'll continue on. Well, I didn't know the battery was so weak. We only made it 2 miles, and the lights died. We had to run lights then, too, you know. Vehicle croaked. We made it about 5-6 miles that way, and it was such an aggravating time that we were down on some back road, down by a creek, and I said, here's where we change the alternator tonight. So an hour later, I had the alternator changed in the dark on a gravel road, and it was kind of tight and whatnot, you know. Working in the dark and trying to figure out how to take and put the belt back on. That spring got quite a, I almost got my fingers pinched behind a pulley in the spring, you know. Well, they did. And then I pulled them out. And anyhow, the belt got on and down the road we went and things worked great. But yeah, that's what I did this summer once in the middle of the night at 11 at night in the dark on a road there, way over.
That working on it in the middle of the night in the dark with a flashlight, he had to strike a match to see if it's burning. That's usually about my luck. But I got, excuse me, I got two batteries on this one, Steve, and I got a load in here somewhere. I'm gonna have to find it. I can't find out where it's at. The batteries work. Everything works fine as long as I drive every day. But the truck's been sitting up for 2 days now and hadn't been cranked up. And the primary battery cranks the engine up. It was a little on the weak side, and it didn't want to turn it over good. So I got a jumper cable and went through the other battery and hooked it up and got it that way. But anyhow, it shouldn't be going down, and that's the main problem. I'm trying to figure out what's pulling it down, and it just looks like it's going to be just a trial and error method. Get the ammeter and put it on, disconnect the battery and put an ammeter on it and start pulling fuses till I find out what's doing it, over.
Yeah, you'll get it figured out. I had put in a new alternator, I think, on my car. I think it was the alternator. Anyway, I got two wires switched around, and it started and worked and everything, but when I shut it off, it would always suck the battery dry. And I found that one by, I was poking, just sitting there staring at the thing, trying to figure out why it wasn't working. And I heard this whining, this little humming noise coming from the alternator. And it was just off, you know, the engine was off. So I disconnected the battery and it quit. Finally I figured out it was them two wires are switched around, and that solved that one.
Basically, you got two connections to make it work. There's another one there to make it regulate. But you got the main output terminal, which is no problem figuring out which one it is. Then you got one goes to the ignition to energize the alternator. You got another one that sits, reads the voltage on the battery and reads back to the alternator to tell it how much it's got to put out. So that ought to tell you something. I'm sure you got it figured out before it's over with, over.
Yeah, I did. That was good, because I got tired of taking the terminal off, popping the hood and taking the terminal off every time I wanted to park the car for any more than an hour or such, you know. I got old, so I'm glad I got that one figured out.
It's an education, but you know, as complicated and sophisticated as a modern-day automobile is, and as much as it costs to get one, There ain't nothing deader than a car with a dead battery, over.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty dead. It's not very useful at that point. I got a cousin talking about how sophisticated they are. He's going to auto mechanic school, or he did. And he said, I learned more about electronics than I did about engines. He didn't realize that's what it was all about nowadays until he did, you know, until he learned it. So, I don't know if he don't seem so excited about auto mechanics anymore. He's, I think I'm going to go drive truck. He's already got a job lined up for this summer for doing that, which is what he did last summer for a construction company. So, yeah, he said he's looking forward to it. But yeah, he said they're more about electronics than engines and mechanics, you know, on today's vehicles.
You're going to laugh at me when I say this, but they all operate basically the same way, Steve. The problem comes in when the engineers that put them all together want to scramble things up, over.
Yeah, they add a lot of extras, or they're made to add a lot of extras to get what the government wants them to do, or to get what they figure they need to do to make them desirable. And make them more like an entertainment system than a transportation one.
You used to make them so you could work on them. Now they don't think too much about the guy that has to work on them after they get them put together. But you can still do it. But I still remember the ones I started out on. A good example of that's an old 36 Chevrolet. Six-cylinder engine. Basic manual type transmission, and had a generator instead of an alternator, and one carburetor, and didn't have any fuel injectors or anything like that. It was a relatively simple engine, and it had enough room under the hood where if the weather was bad, you could just raise the hood and crawl in there with it to work on it.
Yeah, oh, I believe you there. I know that to be true. I was, I had an old 76, Malibu, I think it was. I went to jumpstart this lady. I popped my hood. She had a van. I popped her little hood. And I seen her staring at my vehicle and looking at her with this look, and I was like, what are you looking at? More or less, I don't know if I actually used those words, but she kind of waved her hand vaguely and pointed under my hood and said, it's so open under there. Well, it only had a straight six in it, so I was like, yeah, it's a big hood with a small engine. And, yeah. But that one, you could sit on the fender well and work on the engine while, and be under the cover of the hood while doing so.
And I remember one car. Let's see if I can remember which one it was. I think it was a Chrysler Dodge one, but that's been a lot of years ago, Steve. But anyway, there was an overhead valve with the valve covers the way the modern overhead valve engines do. And I had never worked on one of them before. In fact, I just started working in the shop. And I could work on the ones I was familiar with, but this one I'd never seen before. And I was supposed to do a tune-up on it. So I got to working on it. I put the ports and condenser in there, got all that put together without any problems and all. Got ready to change the spark plugs, and I couldn't find any. I hunted and hunted and hunted, and the spark plugs were down in the head inside the valve cover, and there was a cover over the opening where the spark plugs went in. It made it look like the valve cover was solid across the top, over.
Yeah, so how did you figure out where they were eventually? Did someone tell you, or just you start taking things apart, or what?
Got to the distributor and found me a wire going to a spark plug and traced it out, over.
Yeah, I guess they had a clean-looking engine that way. Kind of reminds me of the same idea where they hit the gas cap under the license plate, you know?
that 58 Buick I had was like that, and the first time I pulled into a service station with that thing, he got it, I thought he never would gonna find it, and I finally had to go back there and show it to him. The license plate folded down, and there was a gas cap, and it worked out pretty good. It made a neat arrangement. The other one, though, was the Volkswagen. You pull the Volkswagen into the service station to get it filled up and get the thing checked out, and he couldn't find the radiator and couldn't find the water over.